This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
I'm your inner dream monologue, and you're fast asleep, so I'll be quick. Great job using the Colgate Optic White Overnight Teeth Whitening Pen before bed. When used as directed, it gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 7 days. So while I fly and talk to animals, you're removing teeth stains with ease. Sweet dreams. And when you wake up, keep on living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and we are here tonight to talk about the double eviction of Big Brother Canada 9. And, boy, what an episode this was. We got a double. That was exciting. But I think the real meat of this one was the Victoria eviction here. But with me to talk about it all is Kirsten. How you doing, Kirsten?
I'm doing really well, Taryn, and I actually have something really important to say to you. It's been seeming like, you know, you've been complaining about doing these live feed updates, and you signed up for 90 days, okay? Stop playing the victim.
I'm just cheesed right now.
Can't believe this.
That was a good one.
Also with me here tonight is Jacob Jones. How you doing, Jacob?
I am doing fantastic. I am emancipated, I am liberated, and I am celebrated tonight. So I know some people may say tonight was boring, but I thought tonight was phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Are you
well,
happy?
No, wait. That was too extreme of a word. I thought tonight was good. So let me dial it back a few.
First of all, this is not a good talk.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Victoria, I have had my issues with her since she nominated Brayden. That's a personal issue, but I can set that aside. She fought. She played fearlessly. It is a loss for television to see Victoria go. However, I do think with the two people that went home tonight, we're set up in a pretty interesting place for the rest of the season. And so I am excited to see what happens. I don't think it was worst case scenario.
Yes. Basically, with Ro leaving, we are setting up the following HOH, the upcoming HOH, to be Tara, Tina, and Brayden versus Jed, Ty, and Beth. And we're just going to have to see where that one goes. I'm inclined to believe that the triangle, has the upper hand here, but you never know. You never know. It is technically 3v3, and Brayden has not been a slouch in these competitions. He's always coming close, but not quite there. So we're going to have to see where this can go, Jacob.
Exactly. And I want to say to all the Brayden haters out there, I want to echo what Taryn said.
Yeah, who's hating like, Brayden?
Oh, maybe that's in my mind. Never mind.
I want names.
I'll send it to you on Twitter.
But
I feel as though what Taryn, like Brayden has not been a slouch in these competitions. And so I feel like the layout of the land of this game is honestly so interesting. But Taryn, so I know Kiefer won tonight, and we can include him with the 90s babies. Or they're called the 90s babies.
The 90s babies is actually the name of this trio.
That's what the Diaper Alliance tried to call themselves before.
Okay, yeah. Yeah,
no, TV it's the pre-90s. It's the pre-90s.
As if the Diaper Alliance had thought of something better.
Well, they got something was turned down. I don't remember what it was now.
Okay, so maybe there's no Brayden haters. I feel like these eyes, 2020 vision, I feel like I've seen some. But I want to say to the pre-90 babies, I like Kiefer. We can put Kiefer with them, but I feel like Kiefer genuinely loves Ty and Jed. And so like that gruesome threesome of a trio, I just don't see Kiefer being as like tightly knitted with them as the case scenario may portray it as.
Well, and the other thing too is Kiefer has been so fixated on Ro. Like, he literally hates Ro for no reason with such a passion. Yes. Like, literally, it didn't matter what Ro was going to do. Kiefer hated him so much and would always work against him. Mm-hmm. That I don't know if we have like a super solid read on like what he'll do next and who his big target will be next. Yeah. Probably Brayden because he's bitter as hell, but he can't win this HOH this week, so he could try again later.
Well, that's the thing.
I feel like Brayden's an easy one, though.
Yeah, so I would imagine if the trio wins the HOH, I would imagine Kiefer will be pushing for Brayden to go, and he won't have a terrible, he'll have a decent case to make because Brayden has been performing much better in the competitions. It may depend on what the performances are in this upcoming HOH as well. But he will definitely be pushing for that. And then if Brayden goes, I think it will again be this time a 3v2 with Kiefer, Tina, Tara versus the remaining trio members in the HOH competition. Because I do believe that Kiefer would turn with Tina and Tara against the trio. However, if it goes the other way, if Tina, Tara, Brayden win the HOH, take out one of the trio, then I think he will be competing with the trio to take out Brayden the following week. So I think that Kiefer will be looking very carefully at which side he wants to play on. I think that if one of Tina or Tara leave this week, then he will probably just have to swallow it and go, all right, I have to work with Brayden. But
TBH.
But yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's just, and the other thing too is I do feel like there is an argument to be made, regardless of who wins HOH, for just straight up targeting Kiefer this week for how many comps he's won. Like,
I mean, he's the only comp beast left.
Target.
Yeah, that is very true.
Yeah,
all the rest of the comp beats have left.
Like, that's the argument too, is if people start saying, oh, well, Brayden's come close in these competitions. He could be like, look at Kiefer and the comps he's won. Like, come on. And like, there's definitely an argument for Kiefer to go next.
Yeah, and considering where we are here in the game of the trio, where they consider all options, they have to make, oh well, somebody made a pitch, let's consider this.
I'm already starting to sweat while you're talking about the trio.
I absolutely could see them going, you know what, Kiefer's a big target. They had been talking about it just a few days ago. They only recently changed their minds. And if we know one thing about the triangle, it's that they always change their minds yes, back and forth. So
like, literally, you just have to be the last one in their ear and you'll get what you want, right? Like, they literally backdoored Vic, who could have taken them out multiple times and literally never actually made a move against them. They'll turn on anybody at any time. It's possible.
Besides the three of them. Yeah. It frustrates me, especially this week, especially Beth. But just like, I honestly,
period. That was just, especially Beth. I actually don't have more to say.
That was an exclamation point on that. And Taryn, I was following your tweets this week, like I normally do. I mean, you're the best man at your job. And I saw like you're like Beth kind of like, honestly, like Beth flip-flopping back, like she's giving other people, she can give an avenue for other people to have credit for like her move in a way. And I'm like, why the hell are these people continuing? Like, Ty's face is a perfect representation of my face in those moments of, it's perfect. And so that is my visual. When I look at my computer and I see the complete hystericalness of the triangle, I like, just like, why, what goes through your mind when you like think of these type of strategies, when you like keep flip-flopping, oh, maybe this, maybe this, maybe this, maybe this. It's quite frankly infuriating for me.
I think it's one of those things where, and it's something that we always talk about, is that we want players to be flexible and we want players to be adaptable and we want players to throw things at the wall and see what sticks. But we don't want it to be like so wishy-washy. Like, it's like, consider your options, think about what you would do. But then when you have your power, have your plan, put that plan into place, and don't go back and forth on that plan while you're implementing it, right? Like, if Beth is going back and forth on what she wants to do before this week, we're all like, okay, well, like, she's not even in power anyways, it's just a hypothetical, whatever. But then the minute she has power and she lets other people influence her that much, it makes her look weak.
Yeah, I mean, it would be like if I was like, thank you guys for listening, or I mean, actually, maybe not. Maybe I'm not thankful. And you know what? I'm actually not sure. I should reconsider if I'm going to go live tomorrow morning. I just don't know if it's the right. Maybe I should go live at 10. Is that what? I don't know, though. What do you guys even want to show up? I feel like no. You know what? You know what? I make this content. You guys should tell me why I should let you show up is what's happening right now. It's like if you get to a point where you question, literally, it's like you get up out of bed and you're like, should I take a step?
Literally.
Yes. No, wait. Hold on. I haven't taken it yet. Okay. Yes. Wait. Yes. Okay.
See, and once again, if you're laying in bed and you're thinking, okay, am I going to get out of bed today? Am I going to take a step when I get out of bed? No one knows. You're just thinking about it. But the second you get up, if you can't make a move, then it's a problem.
That is my literally keep it like I am so perplexed, and perplexed is my word for the year 2021. Perplexed. And because I am so perplexed at the way they I get, like, you outwardly want to express your concerns or like your doubt or like just your confusion to your alliance. But I'm like, you have a mind for a reason. We talk to ourselves as human beings for a reason. Utilize that. Doesn't have to be out there. You can literally like think about something, process it, you know, put a equal sign to it, and then let it out. Don't like let it out when it's not equaling to anything. And that's my frustration with the triangle.
Yeah, don't.
I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill.
Don't do that.
Basically,
it's no good.
We want to keep it real here.
Yeah,
the Grim Just Kiefer. Call me the Grim Kiefer, because
Grim Reaper. Okay, Kiefer.
Taryn's worst nightmare, the rap coming back.
I still like the thing, not to bring it back to the rap from weeks one and two, but it still just lives rent free in my head when Bray did not call Kiefer by his name in that moment.
That was iconic. I thought that was intentional, but was it by accident?
Oh, it was definitely intentional. Okay.
Would you say that
would be the bee's knees?
Was it the bee's knees?
Better than the bee's knees. Come on.
It was good television.
It was television.
Kirsten, is this something that Brayden says, the bee's knees? Have you ever heard him say that? I think yes, I have.
Oh,
there you go.
I actually do. It doesn't feel out of character to me.
It did happen. I mean, really getting use out of the soundboard here tonight, but they finally made it work.
Send the Ro Show out the dodo.
He's finally gone out the dodo.
He's gone.
Yeah.
But you know what? Being on the block, not for him. So they had to get him out in the double eviction.
TBH.
Man, what an episode, though, especially the start of this thing. There was so much more they could have shown, but I liked what we got. Vic is confused about the fact that she's on the block. She makes a pitch. She calls a house meeting. And this is a great house meeting. I mean, we went over it in the live feed updates, but I feel like they did pretty good justice to it here in the episode. So many great moments. Did you say that Beth said, I don't deserve to be here? You don't.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, facts. Literally, Victoria spoke nothing but the truth in that moment, and I respect her for it.
I live for it. Like,
but also,
there's no such thing
as anybody deserving anything in Big Brother. I've stood by that for many years now, and I'll continue to stand by that. But that was iconic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The turnaround for like Tara to say, oh, you said that. And then Vic owning it and being like, well, you don't. And then her continuing to echo the point and saying like when Tara's walking out saying like, you know, there's a, like you're lying, blah, blah, blah. Like I in this argument, I've never rooted for someone so hard and I've never banged on my bed while watching the live feed so hard as watching Victoria scream and yell at Tara in anger and anguish of like, hey, you don't deserve to be here. I lived for this. And if you kind of go back and watch that moment, Tara was like, and I like loved it.
There's no words. She doesn't. There's nothing no more that she could say there. One thing that really gets under my skin there is when Tara goes, oh, you want me to throw shade now? And then know what throwing shade is and does not throw a single ounce of shade.
All she did was throw receipts about the oddballs. Like she didn't throw shade.
Like she could say, you could say she spilled some tea. You could say she dropped some facts. You could not say that she threw some shade. That did not happen.
I do like, I think one of my favorite things is Victoria saying, I would never come up with a name as stupid as the oddballs. That would never be me. Cut to like 4 weeks ago when Twitter is all aflame about, guys, Vic just named this fun new alliance called the Oddballs. It's, we're so excited.
No, literally.
I mean, but you know what? She commits. Vic commits. And you have like you have to respect that. Like it doesn't matter how personally upset she makes you in moments. You have to respect that. And like she went in and she did what she thought she had to do. She put a really good pitch forward. She created a lot of chaos. She said a lot of things that should have absolutely swayed the trio to be working with her. Yeah. And it just didn't work because they had their mind made up by that point.
And this episode, like seeing the way that Vic reacted to being on the block. And for me and me getting into the mind of Vic, who we've seen being chaotic, been loud, been very boisterous, and to see her take a more calm demeanor, like, oh my God, what just happened? I like live for the Oscar winning performance there. And I was like, in my mind, if I'm ever playing Jared, if I'm ever in that position, I know I would be irate. But seeing the way Vic handling, like, let me tone it down. Let me just, I have one objective and that's making the trio believe that I never diverge from them and that I was always sticking with them. I was like, my mind would be so irate. I'll be calling you every name other than a child of God. Like, but the fact that Vic was so like secure in her, like she knew what her objective was and she was like laser focused on it. I like loved it. I loved it.
Well, yes. Loved that. One thing I did truly hate is everybody hiding in the OLG room. Like,
oh, I know. So
like, oh my God, what? Why are you scared? You knew what you were doing and you knew that there could be a reaction, but you have nothing to be afraid of. Like,
exactly.
Stop it. Face it head on. Like the way when Vic comes in and Beth's like, we'll talk later. I mean, do you want to talk now? Like she's petrified and for what? She's nothing to be afraid of. Like
nothing.
Stop it.
Yeah. Exactly. I think one of the things though that they really caught on to in this house meeting was how Vic really, when in doubt, she kind of defaults to I can't believe you guys ratted me out, which the trio was like, so she was doing all of it. She was more upset that her alliance ratted her out after she betrayed them.
Yeah. Well, and the thing too is it's like Vic doesn't really have a leg to stand on when the oddballs all gets exposed and Vic is trying to say she was playing both sides, but she never told the trio about the oddballs.
Yeah.
Well, this is where I was confused. And so I think we saw this before the fight, if I'm not mistaken, that we saw Vic going to, oh no, this was after the fact, because she said it after she got nominated. But when Vic came to Beth and she was like, y'all told me to play both sides. Cause I wasn't really watching the live feeds as tightly as I typically watch them this week. And so Taryn, I was kind of like, well, if they did tell her to do that,
they didn't
and everything kind of, okay. So
even if they had, it would make more sense if Vic is going to them being like, listen, this is everything they said to me today. Yeah. And this is everything I said to them, so that it shows that even when she is talking to the other side of the house, she still is aligned with them and is with them. And they are mm-hmm. who she like. Yeah. You have to let them know where the bodies are buried if you want to continue working with them moving forward.
Yeah, and the big thing missing from the episodes, because they decided to give Brayden like all of the storyline for turning them against Vic, is that the main thing that got Beth to turn in particular is that not only was she playing both sides, not only was she not telling anybody anything, but she was specifically trying to get Tara and Tina to target Beth, and she was naming Beth and Jed as targets. That's where Tara came up with the, did you not tell me that Beth said to you, or that you overheard Beth saying that I don't deserve to be here? That's the thing that got the ball rolling. And it was clear to Beth that Vic was not only playing both sides, but actively trying to get Beth targeted, and not even trying to get Beth to target Tara, just trying to get Tara to target Beth, which was very telling in terms of her motivations. And at the end of the day, you know, her past actions as well just don't make sense. I think that when we look at Vic's game overall, you can see what she's trying to do, where she's taking a shot at one side, then she wins HOH, takes a shot at the other side, trying to play both sides off each other to a degree. She is saying to Arissa in the exit interview, and of course, this is what we have been saying and believing all along, that she would have been loyal to the Ghost Peppers ultimately. But the thing about doing that is that nobody plays I'm playing both sides of the house game when they're winning HOH and taking shots at both sides of the house.
Yeah, exactly.
it's ridiculous.
And she said to Arissa in her interview at the end too, like, I just didn't do like the cleanup. And why did I target Austin when Austin wasn't coming at me? And it's like, yeah, like she was messy and she knows that she was messy and she owns it. And that's just kind of how it is. And then the thing too is, it's like Beth gets that information about Vic, and that seed is planted, and Brayden watered that seed all week long.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the thing about Vic is that we look at the invisible HOH week. She takes out Austin, definitely a mistake. But I think that we can also look at her first HOH. Obviously, she made mistakes in terms of how she executed it, but. Mm-hmm. I think that if you look at Vic and you say, if her intention was always to work with the guys, then her first HOH was the real mistake. Because, and we talked about this at the time, and we talked about how she was trying to get out of it, but you can't get out of it. You can't take a shot at a group of people and then say, I want to also work with you after this.
Yeah.
That's impossible. It's not going to work.
Like, the trust is just completely eroded at that point. No one will ever really be able to believe what you have to say moving forward when you've made such an unnecessary and like bloodthirsty move out the gate.
Yeah.
But in a sense, with that same move, I love LaToya. I love you. I was like, I don't understand this move, but I did like her attempt. I love the thought of her attempts to like try to clean it up with like throwing Beth under the bus, even though it was like a preposterous plan. I just love the thought of
very entertaining.
I just like the thought of like her trying to find an escape, because she knew that like her, you know, her ish was in the fan at that point. And so, but yeah, that was her. I agree with you, Taryn. That was her first mistake out of that whole thing.
Yeah. So it's really, once you target LaToya, I think you need to stay on that path. You need to target the trio again, take out Beth or whatever it is you want to do as the invisible HOH. You're still not the biggest target on the other side. There are still, you know, people on the other side that have relationships. Austin is still a big target, and it's going to be easy for you to blame it on somebody else on the other side. If you can play it right, which obviously she wouldn't have been able to, but still, even if she takes a shot at them again, she has a bunch of numbers to back her up, and she's still a solo player. And so she's still probably not the biggest target left in the house. I think that if she takes a shot at the trio this week and they win HOH next week, she probably doesn't go home this week after having taken a shot at them. Instead, she did their work for them and then was taken out by them because they were in a position where they were comfortable enough to do so because she had just done work for them. If they had been in a weaker position, they wouldn't have been able to afford going after Vic this week.
Dang.
Yeah.
100%.
So, or she could have targeted the oddball side of the house and said, hey, LaToya, Jed, Ty, I know that you didn't really give me the time of day until now, but I've won HOH now. I'm going to use this power to assist you. This is going to get me into your alliance. And I think that would have worked as well.
Yeah. And that, but the thing is, in that moment, Vic was hurt and she was emotional and she let that emotion guide her decisions. And that's how she let a lot of her decisions be made. And I'm not making a value judgment on that because people make decisions all different kinds of ways, but it did ultimately hurt her game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So,
but it made it fun to watch though. So
she's good TV. She's good TV.
Yes. So we get to the eviction and she has a great speech here. First of all, apparently she has a book club.
Hey, that was so cute. It was cute. Yes, to be like, oh, and to my book club as well. Like, I love you. You can shout out your book club. You can't shout out anybody else.
You can't shout out your daughter or your husband, but you can shout out your book club.
Exactly.
She could have told us like what books they were reading, right?
An intellectual. Like, yes, I want to know what they're reading.
She also says that she was backdoored in one of the dirtiest backdoor moves of all time. That she would, but it was a good move because she would have won this game. And then they go and they vote her out, and then they make her twerk on the way out.
I know.
Did they make her?
No. Yes. Twerk. What, like, okay. Yeah.
That's gonna be your exit from the game. Exactly. Is them shouting twerk at you and you being like, no, guys. Like that's not how she wants to leave the house.
No,
that's true. I mean, she had a good exit. That was a good exit.
I enjoyed her exit.
I liked when she's in the middle of putting her mask on. She stops, turns around one last time. You're like, and then puts it back on. That's incredible.
She left. I feel like a lot of players, you know, take things personal in the game. But I just like Victoria knows that she played hard, that she did moves that like she hindsight's 2020 that like probably weren't best for her game. But she did it like every move that she made, she felt 100% conviction in that move. And I appreciate that in a player. But I also can appreciate her like sitting down with the rest and being like, yeah, I got outplayed. They played me. And this is what it is. I have no heart. Even though, you know, I would be like, middle fingers up to you guys, but like I wouldn't be twerking on my way out. I would be like on my way out. But like I
she said like, group hug.
She said group hug. I would be like, Josh, don't touch me. Stand 6 feet away from me. I don't want to hear from you, look at you. I want to be in the same vicinity as you. But Victoria is an icon and it, you know.
This is everything I want from an exit of a player where she fought until the very end. She used everything in her toolbox. And then the second it was over, she was like, you got me.
Yeah. All right. Game over.
Yeah.
And I love that. That's a great energy to have as the foreperson of a jury. Mm-hmm. And having Ro as the second person on the jury, I think that's really good energy to be the first two people in to be directing a jury vote.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I did go and watch. They put the goodbye messages on the website, the Big Brother Canada website. So I watched them. Don't worry, you are not missing a thing because they are so lame. They're all just kissing butt here. It's Beth saying, I'm sorry, but I had to start building my resume. You were so amazing. And that's why I had to get you out. Jed says you were the best player in the house. There were things happening behind the scenes. I'm sure you'll figure out what they were. You're so smart. Ty's was actually, I actually thought Ty's was not great. Because Ty had that, like, you know how I've been making fun of Ty in the diary room for,
I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill.
And he had that energy in the goodbye message.
Oh no.
That was like, you know, I think if I had won that veto, then you definitely wouldn't be sitting here, but I had to choose my alliance over you. Unfortunately, you're so great, Vic. And it was just like full of this like weird energy. It wasn't great. Kiefer, on the other hand, was like very Kiefer, and he had like watery eyes. And he was like, You are the most amazing player. This is not a goodbye, Vic. This is a hello to the legend of Victoria. Your time is now.
Oh, gosh. Don't say it. Don't say it. But I don't mind Kiefer. I know a lot of people have, like, you know, hot and cold with Kiefer, but I think that's very Kiefer, and I enjoy watching Kiefer. But Taryn, also another thing that I want to get y'all's take on. This is a small thing, but when people in their, like, eviction votes, when they say, "I sadly vote to evict," that pisses me off to, like, mm-hmm. no degree. Because, like, I sadly, like, if you're sad about it, don't vote that way. You should be joyful. You should be gleeful. You should be earnestly hopeful yeah. that the person that you vote for leaves. Like, I'm sadly vote to evict. Have convictions with your vote. That's just a quick tangent that I had to go on because it happens year after year on Big Brother. Like, I'm sad. You know, I'm sad that I had to vote you out. Don't be sad about it. Vote out the person that you want to vote out.
I'm totally with you. I would be, yeah. I would absolutely be the person, if I was watching the episode that I got evicted in and every single person going into diaries, "I sadly vote to evict Taryn," be like,
"See, Taryn, here's
stop it.
If you are safe and you get to cast that vote to evict, you should be happy for that opportunity. And I would sit down and I would say, "Hello, Arissa, I vote to evict Taryn. Bye."
Bye. I want to give a shout out to my book club. You were also
shout out to my book club.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah, like if you were sad, like this, it's don't be sad about it. I want to be taken. I want people to be celebrating when they mm-hmm. get me out. Just like they celebrated when they got, I want them to be like, "We did it. Yes." Because that will make me feel like, all right, like they, yeah. they had to get me. Right. But if they're like, "Oh man, we hate to do it to you," I'd be like,
"I'm no. coming to the finale party and I'm cussing you out." That's what's happening.
Yeah. You know what I'm sad about? I'm sad about the fact that I hate you.
Bad. Be sad about this. I sadly vote to evict. Yeah, basically.
Be like, "You know what's sad? The fact that I'm never going to talk to you again. Missing out yeah. on this friendship because I'm loyal, okay?"
Literally.
Literally. Man.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So we get this lengthy exit interview. I mean, this was great. Arissa, clearly a big fan of Victoria. Vic, she's like, "Anything else you want to say, Vic?" And she's like, "Yes, actually, I would like to say that this show is amazing. It's definitely not rigged. There's no funny business at all. It's very great."
So awkward.
Production's fave.
It's like the thing too, is it's like, you know, I'm a super fan, ha ha ha. But also, just so you know, here's a disclaimer. So Big Brother Canada is a legitimate reality TV show. Not one thing about it is rigged. Nothing has ever happened that was not 100% real. And if you have a question about that, I will be saying no more on the subject. Thank you.
I have definitely not been talked to about saying that I was told things in the diary room. That is not what this is about. I don't know why they trusted Vic with this statement. She is the least subtle person on the planet.
And Arista like purposely answered that question for the segue to be, this is a reality competition show where it's everything 100% is curated by the house guests completely. There is no production manipulation with this show, and it is 100% authentic.
It would have been really funny if in that moment she'd been like, yes, I do have something to say. So Big Brother is a reality television show where each week one player wins a competition
and they become the head of
household. They nominate two house guests for eviction. Those house guests, as well as three players chosen by random draw, will play in the power veto competition.
And you know what? I'm really even hurt that anybody would even question the show at all. It's just very upsetting to me.
You know what? It's actually production's fault for asking questions in the diary room. And, you know, they surely think about that.
Yeah. Wait, something that would have been even funnier is if she would have, like, said word for word what Big Brother US does on their live feeds. The statements expressed by the house guests are completely by the house guests and not by CBS or by a guy. Thank you very much. Just exited stage left.
Oh man.
Not that.
Well, we are going to head over to the HOH competition, and it is before or after, and Ro called this last night. He knew it would be before or after in the double eviction. Unfortunately for Ro, the competition is not based on who can call what competition it's going to be. It's based on who is going to win the competition, who's more prepared for it. And right away, he gets the first question wrong. So, Ro.
I was sitting in my chair, hopeful, and it paid out in the end. Sorry, that sounded so cruel and mean. Seeing that he left, but no, I disclaimer, as Victoria gave, this is an expression of Jacob Jones only. Rose preseason, I was so excited for it. His in season, I was like, meh, too. And so anything that Ro did during the season, I was just like, meh, too. And so when he got the first one wrong, I was like, I wasn't sad. Yeah.
I think Kiefer winning this HOH though was, again, not worst case scenario, because it would be literally a nightmare if he won like tomorrow's HOH. And so the fact that he can't play it, I'm like, okay, this is fine.
Yeah, a week of Kiefer putting Ro on the block again, with Ro being sent home this time, would have been a literal nightmare.
I'm actually mad that Kiefer gets to be the HOH when Ro goes, because you know that he's just so satisfied with that. And we're going to see him talking about how much Canada's proud of him and Canada's pulling for him and Canada wanted to see Ro go home. And it's like, enough. I've had enough of this.
Y'all be getting on Kiefer too much. Now, I'm not a Kiefer stanner. I'm not a Kiefer defender. But, and however, tonight I am. And Kiefer tonight, he
just called me the Grim Kiefer because I am ripping these duos apart.
But period. So, but Jacob, here's the thing.
What's the thing?
My counterpoint is that we are not hard enough on Kiefer, because any person who's sitting in the house talking about how much Canada loves them needs to sit down.
Okay, they do need to have a seat.
Take a seat
for a moment, but then they can hop back up and continue on with their day. But Kiefer thinks Canada loves him. Honestly, don't shoot me. I'm just expressing my views. I kind of like Kiefer a little bit.
Were you about to say, I think I love you, Kiefer?
I do. I do. Like Jed, I do.
Oh my God. Okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing. You're going to get such a hateful DM from Brian Scali tonight. For that.
Not that. But honestly, I feel like Kiefer has, like, even the moment where he came into the Expedia room, iconic. Even the moment where, I'm not saying, you know, when he got out, who did he get out?
Kyle?
Kyle. I mean, that was like, man, I didn't really care for Kyle, so I was okay with it. But like, Kiefer has, he's been working for my faves, and honestly, in Big Brother sphere, it has left Jacob disappointed time and time again. And so because someone is doing the Lord's work and keeping my faith safe, I have to, you know, pay my tithes and offering and give my, you know, my dues to him. And so Kiefer, with Jacob Jones, you have a place at home. Come on, to America.
On. So embarrassing.
So embarrassing.
He does. He has a place in America.
I invite Jacob Jones to the party, and he's just going on rants about how he loves Kiefer.
Bad.
Oh, no.
Well, Kiefer does win this HOH. Solid performance here by Kiefer in this HOH competition. Yeah. Now, there was one thing that concerned me, because I know that Brayden had talked to Ro about potentially throwing this HOH. He said to Ro that he would not do it unless it was just between the four of them, Ro, Tina, or Tara. But I did see in this competition, Brayden saying, sort of motioning like, that's the right answer, I'm standing on the incorrect answer. As though he might have been doing it on purpose, or maybe he just realized it after the fact. But this is concerning to me, Kirsten.
Praying that he realized it after the fact, like once it was locked, and then he was like, oh, shoot, just literally praying for that. I don't think that he would have thrown this competition. I really don't. Unless like his brain has been completely melted by being in the house, which is entirely possible.
Well, to be fair. Yeah.
Brayden Lanzawini.
Taryn's been waiting on that button forever.
I didn't know that had made the show. So,
oh, Kirsten, don't do it. Oh God!
Yeah, it's you know, the only it really stood out to me, especially because he had talked about throwing it. But the only thing that gives me a little bit of pause is that in the following question, it did look like he was upset that he got it wrong again.
I don't think that he threw it. I really don't.
No.
But I mean, at the end of the day, it's not gonna matter too much either way. But definitely should not have thrown it. Obviously, he could have gone home here if this veto plays out in another way. Which we do get this veto. It's going to be Ty, Tina, and Beth chosen to play alongside Brayden and Ro. If Ro wins this, Brayden is out. If anybody else wins it, Ro is out. And of all the vetoes for Ro to choke, it's going to be this one here, as it looked like he was like in last place. Here.
It fell really far behind really quickly.
Super, super struggling with that sword.
But with those competitions, it's so hard to gauge, just because if you're at the upper point, you make one move and then you're all the way at the bottom. Because I saw Tina, she get locked and she was down here, and then she had to go all the way back up to loop around. And so with those it's kind of hard to gauge. But yeah, it did seem like the Ro show, his good juju, his good, you know, energy expired. And the Ro show got to go. And, you know, as we saw,
it's a tough one, because obviously it is to some degree skill based, but it moves so fast that it might as well be a crapshoot, because obviously the ideal strategy is make sure you know where you're going so you don't run into a dead end. But since there are five people or six people playing, if you are somebody that looks and gets the path before you start going, the chances are somebody, probably multiple people, are just going to start going, and one of them or two of them are just going to get lucky and have chosen the right path, and they're going to be ahead of you. And that's just the way things go. So when you're in a win or die situation, you basically just have to try and get lucky. I think that's what Ro did, and I think he got unlucky. I think he chose the wrong path. I saw him backtracking. And that's just the way it goes.
Well, and the thing too is, it's like Ro has won three vetoes in a row. That energy is hard to keep up. Like, that is so discouraging to be like, yeah, I have to keep winning vetoes to stay in this game. Like, that's got to weigh on you as well. And he's been on Slop so much.
Yeah, I know. He looks so fragile. I did feel bad for Ro, but then my like empathetic ways kicked back up, where I was like, all right, this is a big brother, so like, let's keep it going. But yeah, the Ro show, my heart went out to him.
Yes, this is it. Ty is going to win his first competition, and boy, is he pumped up about
he
it.
Finally.
He's waving the sword around. I was like, careful!
Cool. Yeah,
he's so excited. And so then I found it very interesting that Ro immediately goes to be the first to talk to him. And it's like, what did you think was going to happen? Like, even if that pitch was the right one, it's like, but Roast can't promise, like, Ro cannot promise that he's not going to put up the trio if he wins power.
Well, like, I mean, what he needed to do was sit Ty, Jed, and Beth down together and go, here's the thing. I swear to you, I would never come after you in this game. Never. If you save me here, I have you forever. And then Brayden would try to come in. No, sorry, Brayden, you're not allowed. I have to talk to them last. And then he would have left and they would have gone, guys, I don't know what to do anymore. He's really making a great pitch right now.
It was only time, like the time that they had, it was only time for one flip. And so if they would have flipped the opposite way, that would have been it.
Well, and not to go back too far, but in the early part of the episode, after the house meeting, I think it's Jed who goes, I don't know what to think anymore. I don't know what to believe. And it's like, yeah, that's what you say every time someone says anything to you. These men, I love them. I love Jed and Ty. I do not mean anything bad about them. They're sweet, lovable himbos. It's who they are. I've been saying it for weeks. I love them, but they get confused easily.
Can you just put Jed with that? Because Ty, I feel like Ty, like, at least has some type of...
I mean, problem. I'm not saying it as an insult.
Like, but you're not saying it as a compliment.
I mean, I love them for it.
All right. Well, that's basically it. There's nothing that Ro can say here. Ty does not use the veto on Ro, and then they go and evict him unanimously. That's when we hear this soundbite, this
sound.
So this happens. Beth is on her way to vote, and this is Beth gasping, I guess, in the background, and you hear Arissa say, "So embarrassing." Now, here's my conspiracy theory, because the exit interview between Arissa and Ro was very shady. And she accuses him of giving up, laying down and dying. I think she's talking about his speech.
No.
I don't have an opinion on this.
So I think, honestly, that very easily could just be some kind of audio leak from, like, her talking to a member of production.
Oh, very. It's like, definitely an audio leak, like, of her talking to production.
Like, maybe, like, somebody's, like, skirt was stuck in their underwear, or, like, hair is out of place or something. And it's like, so embarrassing.
It could be anything. It really could be anything.
There's no way that was about Ro's speech.
But it also could have been about Ro's speech, is all I'm going
to
say.
If you want to sit and believe that it was about Ro's speech, then if that will help you sleep at night, then I'm happy for you. But that's not Arissa's energy. Like, that's just not who she is.
And she was dressed in pink, and so.
Like, Arissa is, like, one of the most, like, genuinely kind people.
It is very, very true. It is very true. I don't know what was embarrassing, but it was very, very funny little clip here.
Someone in the chat just suggested that it could have been lipstick on teeth, and then I thought they were telling me I had lipstick on my teeth, and I was like, oh no, so embarrassing.
No, you're good.
But I'm fine.
So Ro is voted out. This is the thing, because this interview is so awkward and weird, where, like, Vic comes out and it's like, oh, legend, Ro comes out and it's like, do you think you made a mistake by evicting Victoria? Wait, what?
I did get that tone from
But
it.
Actually, I have one more thing to say, and that's that the show is completely 100% not rigged. Everything is. But the thing is it's like, yeah, the interview itself was a little bit shady, but in, like, 4 days, Arissa's gonna post, like, a 5-picture slideshow of Ro,
so, and be bad.
Like, Rohan, he fought. He won three vetoes, king of this game, like slay, like
literally.
That's what's best. Literally mark it in your calendars. Like Arisa's a stand.
That's because
like
she's amazing. It's absolutely. But in this episode, this is a weird interview.
Yeah, because Arisa is team fun feeds. And Vic is fun feeds.
Yes. Did you make a mistake voting Vic? Of course not. That's not even a question. And then she's like, man, you really just laid down and died, huh? This guy just got evicted. A double eviction. Let's chill.
Just so mean.
Taryn, how would you what would have been the epicenter of because I agree with you, that was like you know what I mean, homeboy just walking out of a double eviction too, so I know your heart has to be palpitating. What should she have, I mean not call him a legend because it's a lot of Ro fans out there, but he's not a legend. So what? Oh, Ro, congrats, you fought
Vito,
so hard.
Vito
warrior. No, let's not call him king. Vito warrior.
Well, okay, so I did notice they both kept looking to the side. I think that there was either a timer or somebody there being like, we have like 30 seconds. And I imagine that contributed pretty dramatically to the overall time. I my guess would be, because again, this is absolutely no shade on Arisa. She is wonderfully wonderful. But my guess would be that she had a few questions ready to go, and a couple of that. One of them was, do you think it was a mistake to evict Victoria? One of them was, why didn't you fight harder? Other ones were, how was your friendship with Kyle in this game? What was it like to work with Brayden? What was it like to be a veto king? Like the things that would normally make him more comfortable. And they kind of just had to speed it up and she got to the juiciest ones.
Yeah, they didn't start the second, like the HOH in this episode wasn't until like 25 minutes in. They really, the second eviction was so compressed and there were so many commercial breaks and it was like, okay, seriously, you couldn't give us like an extra 15 minutes. Yeah. You couldn't give us a little bit more time. This is what we're getting. Like we had to watch whatever comedy was on before Big Brother Canada, which was bad. It was bad.
Yeah.
And we had to watch elongated commercials.
Right? Like, we get it. Skip the dishes. Swiffer. Woohoo.
There it is. Man, it's just
so embarrassing.
So embarrassing.
So embarrassing.
So embarrassing.
Embarrassing, guys.
Oh God, y'all are funny tonight.
I'm just so happy that Arisa finally has like a Julie Chen moment because.
But that's the thing is it's like it's so nothing because if that was Julie Chen, you know.
I have no programming in my ear right now.
Like
this is really embarrassing.
Like in that moment, it would have been Julie Chen Moonves being like, oh my God, I just realized my skirt has been tucked into my underwear this entire time. Oh my God, everyone could see. Oh my God, this is so embarrassing, so embarrassing. Oh, haha, no, just kidding. Okay.
Or it would have been, be kind, America, because kind is a 4-letter word and we love.
Or it's I said that? Oh, weird.
It would have been like, or like she like pulls out her Bible for the commercial break and then she like misquotes it. Oh, it's so embarrassing.
Oh man. Well, there it is. Ro is out just like that. And we have reached the final seven of Big Brother Canada 9. Final seven. And
didn't it seem like just yesterday that Julie was evicted?
It kind of does.
Yeah, this has been zooming by. Like last week when we realized like, oh, it is jury. I was like, how is it already jury? And it's just also part of having like a smaller cast right from the start. Because I feel like we did get to kind of skip some of the more boring start of season shenanigans.
I feel like we still got some of the boring shenanigans.
There was still a little boring at some points, but overall much less so than you would see in like a 16-person
cast season.
I mean, I've said this all season long, but I really feel like so many of the things that we have talked about in the past more diverse cast, smaller cast, fewer twists, competitions continue to be relatively even playing field here. They're before and after questions to start. And really not even much that you could have studied for too much. Like, these are hard questions.
Yeah, those are really hard. Yeah,
this is not really like hard. What day was X on? This is when this person said this, was it before or after this? So again, kudos to Kiefer for getting those. I've noticed before that Kiefer has, when studying, gotten things wrong. Clearly that is not necessarily an indication that he is going to not succeed in these question comps here. Great job with the question to begin with. And then this sword thing probably favors, you know, again, somebody a little more physical, but not to a major degree at all. Very slight. We're not talking about like a rock wall or a catapult where you're running back and forth, or even a puzzle where you're running back and forth. It's good stuff.
Like, super typically a double or triple eviction veto in BB Can would be like where you are running back and forth to find the puzzle pieces and then you put the puzzle together. It is nice to see like a little bit less physical option.
I liked it.
Good stuff. I hope it continues. Genuinely too, though, I also hope that there are fewer days comps, fewer memory comps. I like question competitions, but with the studying stuff, I like that it's something that you can rely on to some degree, but it becomes clear, like Kiefer, Jed, like there are going to be players that are just going to win all of the memory comps.
I like save it, have memory comps like one or two at the very end, but you don't need to have them in the early and mid game.
I hope that we continue the trend of crapshoot competitions, more skill-based competitions, and we don't get anything too physical, and I also hope that we don't get anything that is too consistently study-based.
I would love a nice endurance, maybe a buzzkill. Would be good, but it's weird because we just had like Easter weekend, and historically we've had an endurance comp that Thursday night, and we didn't this time. So I would say that could be it may be too hard with like production schedule and staffing and everything with COVID. I don't know.
Part of me fears that the reason we're getting such great competitions is because of COVID and not because they decided to do it. But I would hope that maybe they recognize how well it's gone. And maybe even if it wasn't intentional, maybe they'll keep it for the future.
But I would not bet on that, my friend.
I like it, yeah.
It may also be a reason why we don't get an endurance. Buzzkill doesn't require a huge setup, as far as I can recall. I mean,
Buzzkill doesn't take that much more time and attention than the before and after setup that they had today. It really wouldn't be that much more complicated. But again, normally the big endurance comp is the Thursday before the Easter long weekend, because I vividly remember staying up until like 3 a.m. just to watch stupid Dylan win friggin' HOH. I was furious. Why did I stay up?
It's not impossible that we get one. The feeds did come back up. No spoilers here. The feeds did come back up right after the episode ended. They have not played HOH yet. They talked about playing it tomorrow. I don't think it's impossible that they just do an endurance comp during the day. And having that be buzzkilled would, I think, work pretty well. I think that it would be the best buzzkilled, I think, because it's 3v3.
Yeah.
It's like this double eviction was big, but this next HOH will determine the course of the game.
I also just don't see that happening. Arissa would have given us a heads up that there we could expect something on like an endurance on the feeds tomorrow. And if they do an endurance not on the feeds, then I don't want
that'd be lame. That'd be bad.
Like, I would really, that would be so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like,
But we'll have to see. I if we don't get one now, it's going to be hard to like, they're not going to do Buzzkilled with like five people, right? Like,
yeah, I think yeah. I think we just might not see it, especially too. Like, it might be hard with like the food temptations, getting them in the way that they normally do as well. I think we just aren't going to get it, but I'm still disappointed.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Well, it's so embarrassing.
Yeah, it's
so embarrassing.
So embarrassing.
All right. Well, that's it. We, you know, there's been maybe a little bit of talk on the feeds about what the plans might be, but honestly, don't trust anything they say at this point. I don't trust anything they say.
And honestly, like, I don't trust anything in general, but especially not pre-HOH. Like, get out of here.
I don't trust anything in general, but yeah. Especially not pre-HOH.
We're looking. So we did find it is unfortunate. We did finally see it happen. They finally succeeded
to send the Rosho out the dodo.
It's out the dodo.
Bye.
And I'm gonna have to clip this clip and take out the Rosho part and just leave the dodo because that's staying forever.
The dodo.
Out the dodo.
Out the dodo.
But without the little half rhyme, like, what's even the point?
It doesn't have the same effect.
What's the point? Excuse me. The point is that somebody
just send the Rosho out the dodo.
Out the dodo. That's the point.
That's so embarrassing, Karen.
I'm just really happy that Big Brother Canada has stopped using the word lit in their announcer voice, because I was getting tired of that after season 5 and they used it on the premiere of season 9. And so I'm just like glad that lit has not been reused. All right. I think so.
There is one thing that BBUS does that I wish BB Can had done tonight, which is that the announcer guy goes, "It's double eviction night, baby."
Yeah, that's good.
I like that.
That always gets me pumped. So yeah, as I said, we're going in, it's 3v3 now. Beth, Jed, and Ty have each won one competition now. Tina, Tara, and Brayden have all won zero competitions. So they are the underdogs here, but so was Paris. And we saw how that worked out. Yeah. And here's the thing. Even though this is
compare Brayden to Paris more.
Even though this is a very, very important HOH, there is still potentially some intrigue because the triangle is the triangle. I absolutely see a scenario where if Beth, Jed, or Ty win, as we talked about, they could take a shot at Kiefer. Or Kiefer could convince them to take the shot at Brayden, and then he would flip the following week, and then that would be an interesting HOH as well, because that would be 3-2, and Kiefer actually does have a much better track record than the other two that would be competing. Yeah. So it might actually be the right move to take out Kiefer, but if they do, then they will still be down 3-2 in the following HOH with Brayden, Tina, and Tara there. Yeah. So this is not actually quite yet the end road for the triangle, and that's because they took out Vic last week when they could have taken out somebody else, anybody else. But I really think, and if Tina, Tara, or Brayden win, obviously they'll take a shot at the trio. And then Kiefer, I think, as I said, stays with the trio. And so I think it still remains fairly equal. I know that Ro left, he was the underdog, everyone was kind of like, show's over, it's time for the steamroll. It's certainly possible that the triangle just like wins out from here on, but it's not over yet. It's really not. There are a lot of different ways that this can go.
Yeah, and this has been, like, even though people have been pretty straightforward with who they're aligned with, people do kind of have a bit of inherent flexibility still. And I could see there being, even in the dynamics we have, there could be, like, a shakeup.
And this is what happens.
The fluidity of this.
Yeah, this is what happens in Big Brother Canada outside of season 5, right? Where season 6, Paris, who had not won a thing to this point, constantly choked in competitions, seemed like she couldn't win anything, goes on a streak right at the end and upsets the entire game. Big Brother Canada 7, Kira, out of nowhere, defeats some of the best challenge performers in the history of Big Brother Canada to upset them and take one shot. And this is not a Pretty Boys Alliance where if Akira wins, then all of a sudden, you know, it doesn't matter because they still have a strong group left over.
Yeah.
This is if somebody wins and takes a shot at this triangle, they are now only two people. And who knows where things go from there. So I do not think that we are out of the exciting territory in this season here, Jacob.
I don't either. And I'm very hopeful. And at the beginning of the season, it was like in Big Brother, I love fluid gameplay, but this season became too fluid for my liking. And it just became like, hold on, what? And then it was like very stagnant, but I'm like very hopeful just for the projection of this game with having size, but also having people not 1000% being solidified to those sides. And then we still have some wiggle room between the two. So I'm excited for it. And I'm very hopeful for Brayden in this game too. And I don't know if it would be best for him to win the next HOH, but I would just love to see him just like take control of this game, like immediately.
He absolutely has to, in my opinion. I think that he at this point in the game, everybody needs to be trying.
He needs to win something this week. Like if he doesn't win HOH,
just for his resume,
and for safety. If he doesn't win, he could very, very easily go home.
He needs to ensure his safety. Like he has a good social footing, and I have every faith in his capabilities. And I believe fully in him. I think that he has everything that it takes, and I do believe he has the killer instinct to take the reins from here and go moving forward. I know everyone maybe hasn't seen enough to be on my side yet. That's fine. You have time. But I do think that he should be winning. I was texting with another of his friends a couple days ago, and I was like, yeah, we need him to win the next HOH.
He needs to turn it up.
This is a good time for him to turn it up.
All right. Well, anything else that we should talk about here before we start to wrap up this double eviction coverage? I was like, the second Kiefer won the HOH, I was like, okay, but who wins the next one? Wait, so where do we go from here? Because this I need to know.
I'm very excited to see what happens next. I'm sad that we don't get to have the next HOH tonight, but it'll be fine. We'll be fine. It's gonna be good.
On one hand, I'm like, I want the triangle to win because I know it's gonna be an exciting week. They're going to be like, should we take out Brayden or should we take out Kiefer or should we split up Tina and Tara? Oh, this is such a hard decision, guys. And they'll go back and forth and they won't know what to do. And it'll be exciting. But then I know I'm just going to get frustrated with it. And I'm going to be like, just make up your minds already. And I'm going to wish that I never wished they won.
But oh my God, they're just scared, Taryn. They're just so scared. They don't know. It's so scary.
But I love it. It's so good. But also, on the other hand,
I would love to see Brayden or Tina or Brayden or Tina win power.
Thank you. Thank you for solidifying that list, Tara.
I need to say off the bat, I do not like Tara. I agree with Victoria that she should not be there. However, the HOH-itis that Tara would provide to us, I feel, would be... It would be so embarrassing for her, but it would be entertaining for us. It's not what I want. I would not be. I'm not rooting for her. I don't want good things for her in this game.
Jacob, you okay?
It could be good feeds. It could be good feeds.
I think Kirsten
it's
makes sense.
Past that point of no return.
literally past. But you know, I also want to get a petition signed for that damn Jed to stop doing this when he casts his vote
because it's so awkward.
Because the sunsetters aren't a thing anymore. Jed needs to get that out of his mind. Everyone in the cast needs to get that out of his mind. Out of their minds, and Jay needs to stop doing this.
Ties was the most Ty when Ty did it, because again, like every time, like just Ty in the diary room is just so awkward.
It's because like Ty is such like a cool guy.
Ty doesn't belong on a lame show like this.
Like Ty just acts like just a normal dude. Like, I would want to grab a drink with Ty, like, cool guy. And then he gets in the diary room, and it's like when you have to get a picture taken and you don't know what to do.
No.
Like, Ty does not know what to do in the diary room.
Yeah.
Like, is this?
Literally.
What's up, baby? Make a mountain out of a molehill.
And actually that one, that in particular sound drop really reminds me of Vic last week being like, how dare they put me on slop? Oh my God, how could anyone do this to me? Like, that's the level of acting Ty is giving us in the diary.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I love Ty.
Yeah.
He's dope.
He is.
Yeah, I like Ty a lot.
Cool guy.
Yeah.
Cool guy.
Cool guy. Cool guy Ty.
All right. Yeah.
Woo! What's up, baby?
I wish I had clipped when he wins the veto and he's like, what does he say? He's like, that's a city planner for you.
Aaron, like, don't clip that, please. Don't clip that.
He was like, was he saying like that he's great at mazes because he's a city?
He knows. He can see the plan. Okay,
I see through the matrix, yo.
I mean, it also could just be because like he's smart. Like, city planning is not an easy master's program to do. He's definitely book smart.
Urban planning, good for what?
Good for what?
And that's on bridges,
for mazes.
Yo.
That's right.
Dang, yo, Ty's invited to my wedding. Period. Even if he doesn't come, it's okay.
If Ty ends up losing a veto to save his life in the game, he'll just but like 1v1 me in a maze though, bro. Come on.
Ty,
I'll urban plan your ass.
Ty is not invited to my wedding because I would become a runaway bride.
Oh, not that. Not that. Oh my God.
That was embarrassing for me. Oh, no.
Urban plan that ass. Wait, Claire, did you say urban plan that ass?
Urban planning for what?
You heard this me, has Jacob. Been a hoot and a holler. You heard me, Jacob.
You don't need to be an urban planner to know what I was saying.
Oh my God. Y'all are funny. Literally,
don't you guys love podcasts where they call themselves
always,
funny?
I've always thought that I always thought Kirsten was funny. Like 10 out of 10 humor. Taryn. I've always thought you were like, yo, Taryn's like good at what he does. Taryn's dope. Taryn's like has like comical moments and like whoop-de-doo, whoop-de-da. But tonight, Taryn, I think I'm in love with you. Like, honestly.
I want to give a shout out to my parents for creating this absolute champion.
Shut up.
Jacob is just literally on one. He's being too nice to me.
Jacob's just a nice guy, man.
No, Jacob, every time I'm on with Taryn, I always gas him up and he gets rosy in the cheeks and it's amazing. Watch it happen in 10 seconds. He's going to try to hide it.
Audacity.
Well, Jacob, I think you're funny too. I think you're the bee's knees.
No, okay, don't. Okay. Okay. Can you at least call me like Jacob? Yo, I appreciate you keeping it real. I appreciate that more than bee's
knees. I'm not ever going to say that.
Jacob always keeps it real.
Thank you. This is why Taryn's my favorite. Taryn, this is why I stand you. And Kirsten.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
If you remember one thing about this podcast, remember that Jacob keeps it real with his Keef love.
And he stands Taryn.
There it is.
He thinks he's in love
with
him.
I'm in great company.
Basically. I love being the third wheel on this podcast.
I hope, I don't want you to feel like out of place, but
I'm a professional third wheel. It's where I feel okay. Most at home.
And so we are, this is no triangle.
Yeah, this is no triangle. No, definitely not.
This is just
Absolutely not. Line.
Yeah, it's line. I think a line is honestly more sexier. Sorry, we will get into that later.
An angle, whatever. Maybe?
That's good.
It's got to be two lines. If a triangle is three lines, then two people would be two lines.
Two people with one line, but if you're connecting three people, you need an extra line.
Well, then...
Wait, no.
I mean, technically, a triangle is still just one line, right? It's all just connected.
Stop it.
Taryn, no, it, this no. Is a triangle is an acute angle, I think.
This
I think it's
Kate,
an acute angle.
We've got
so together we're a triangle, angle. But separately, me and Taryn are a line.
Yeah,
and then Kirsten's a point.
A line with a
it's like
with a
because the thing is it's like in a triangle. There's a line of me to Taryn and me to Jacob and Jacob to Taryn. But if I'm just the third wheel and I'm outside of it, then there's just the line of Taryn to Jacob.
Yeah, and then you're just like a point on the graph,
and I'm just like over here, like hey. Yeah.
Are you okay with that though?
I can live with it. It'll be hard, but I can sleep at night.
Okay. Right, I'm really glad we cleared this up. I feel like we've really gotten to the bottom of what's happening in the Big Brother Canada house with this talk. So thank you guys so much for joining me. Any final thoughts tonight here, Kirsten?
I see this person in the chat saying I should be invited to the podcast and bumped right before it starts. I see you and you're rude. You're freaking rude.
I'm
so
dead.
Hateful.
I'm dead.
You don't have to wake up and choose violence. Like you choose don't. Other options.
You could have woke up and chose peace.
Yeah. Jacob, any final thoughts for us tonight?
I'm hopeful. I'm excited. I'm excited that the throuple. Well, they're not a throuple anymore. They're a triangle. They're a group of people that work together. Let's just call it that.
An alliance, maybe?
I think that's the word. I think that's the word. I think that an alliance. I know a lot of people are like, man, the alliance made it out. But like, I'm quite pleased that the alliance made it out of the triple eviction. I mean, sorry, not triple eviction, double eviction. And I'm hopeful for Ty.
I mean, really missed opportunity to not have a triple eviction in a season with a throuple, right?
Oh, I did it wrong. Sorry. Yes. That.
No, I liked that you were wrong.
All right.
So embarrassing. Wait, Taryn, do you have anything to add?
Yeah.
See, Taryn, you never have people ask you that question. You're always the one to ask the question.
Nobody ever asks me if I have final thoughts.
Yeah. I know. I think about these things.
You know, my final thoughts are that Jacob Jones is a very thoughtful person. Those are my final thoughts are Jacob Jones's thoughtfulness.
Taryn stands.
My new final thought is that Jacob Jones is a brown noser.
So, Taryn, you lost points with playing that sound clip at that time.
Anyway. I didn't play the sound clip. That was leaked audio. I don't know what you're talking about.
It was a production leak.
All right. Well, I will be live tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on anything that happens tonight on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. Should be fun. We'll maybe have an HOH winner by then, maybe not. But either way, you can check it out. I'll also be back on Saturday to update you on anything that happens on Friday. And then we'll be back Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern. The Circle will be wrapping up and we'll be talking about that. Monday night, we'll be back with an episode recap for Big Brother Canada 9. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I'll be talking, I'm sure, about the feeds and playing Fall Guys and Among Us and all of that good stuff. So check me out there. Kirsten, where can people find you?
Well, they can find me on all social media at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What. I have a weekly BoJack Horseman rewatch podcast called BoJack Horse Pod with Lindsay Wilson. I am also talking about Riverdale with Frail Mary over on Kowski Cast. That is Cow with a K. I am going to be on Renap this weekend, so keep an eye out for that. And if you haven't been following all day long, I've been on the RHAP Instagram, Rehabgrams, for the takeover, and there's just a little bit left of that, so go check that out before all those stories disappear.
Did you post an
amazing
line?
Job.
I'll post that after this. I didn't know before. Before I thought that maybe we could be a triangle, but
I'm glad we cleared it up.
Now I know that that's not the case. Yeah. But our alliance name could be Jam, Jones, Armstrong, McInnes.
Sauce. Shut up. Oh my. That's dope. Did you come up with that?
No, it's in the chat.
Okay.
Man, Jacob was almost very impressed right there.
But I'm not gonna lie. What? It's easily verifiable that I did not think of it.
But I wouldn't have verified it.
Mm. Okay, well then, yes, I came up with it, Jacob.
Whoa. Jacob, where can people find you so they can learn all about cute angles and cute hats?
Well, you can sign up for my e-learning class at Jacob. I'm joking. I don't have an e-learning class, guys. But everyone,
you just shot my hopes up just like Kirsten did, and then dashed them right away, just like Kirsten did.
Oh my goodness, I suck. But anywhere on social media, Jacob_J_Jones. And after this, I will actually be on Clubhouse talking about the double eviction. And so come and join so I can hear your thoughts on it.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. It's a shame, but it finally did happen.
Send the Rose Show. The Rose Show at the dojo.
That's the last time we'll hear that in its entirety, but it's okay. We'll get through it together and
stronger together.
Well, we will hear it on Monday when they do a recap over the eviction, right?
And I'm just going to say it's out the dodo.
Okay, it's out the dodo, I guess.
Yeah.
Sad. But, wait, Jam stand for live. We actually are a group. Are we the real thruple of the world?
Of the world.
I mean, would be down.
It's possible. I mean,
of the world. That's a
okay. We got to convince Kirsten now for this.
Wait, not Dosh's claim of yours, but really, what we need to do here is end the podcast. So, yes, thank you guys so much. I'll see you next time.
Bye.